Chapter 33. It had been a long while since I'd served directly under Veteran Harris. We'd often had trouble getting along, but we'd always pulled it together when push came to shove in a combat situation. Today was no different. Harris looked at me, and I looked at him. We veered toward one another, and he gave me a nod.
"That should have been you back there, taking the bolt in the face," Harris said.
"I disagree. Leeson made his own choices."
"You coached him in your special brand of chicanery, and look what happened."
"His choice, Harris," I repeated. "He's a full-grown man." Harris looked at me sidelong.
"You think you could have gotten away with destroying that captured ship, don't you? You figured you're above the chain of command. What makes you..."
2 o'clock, vet," I said, pointing. Harris dropped his bitching about my behavior and unlimbered his morph rifle in a single smooth action. He adjusted its structure into a long-range configuration.
"Enemy sighted,"
he shouted, engaging the unit-wide channel. There they were. Towering monsters, the size of redwoods themselves, their long, dangling limbs bent in curves rather than angles. I'd done battle with pod walkers before, but this time seemed different. It took me a moment to figure out what it was.
"Command!"
I heard a breathless female voice in my helmet. It was Kiwi. She was in the rear of our formation, running with those of us who were unarmored.
"The pod walkers are being herded. See those smaller creatures at their feet? That's what you have to kill."
Graves spoke up next.
"McGill, has your team seen those spiky-looking things before?"
"Yes, sir," I said. "I reported them just before you brought us home with a missile barrage. Claver explained they're direct servitors of the enemy brain plants. We call them spiders, sir."
"They do look spidery. So it's their job to get the pod walkers to charge in a single mass, is that it?" "Makes sense. I never did figure out how the walkers were able to coordinate. They don't seem too intelligent alone."
The walkers were encircling Winslade's position. The sound of the action was reaching us now, snaps, whines, and ripping noises like distant thunder. I could tell a terrific firefight was in progress. The sound of the weaponry was intermixed with the howl of the enemy.
"Okay, here's the plan," Graves said. "We're going to dive into the thicket of ferns to our right. Try to stay together. Don't straggle. We'll swing around under the cover of the undergrowth and hit the aliens right in the butt, pinning them between our guns and Winslade's."
I swallowed. Graves's plan had its merits, but it was going to take us close to the enemy. I'd been hoping that we'd engage them from range with our rifles and belchers. I'd figured we'd distract the walkers and help Winslade that way. Graves was planning a much more direct and aggressive play. We were going to be under their feet, in the thick of it. Harris was still running near me. Resignedly, he reconfigured his rifle again, turning it into a short, stubby carbine weapon. I did the same. This was going to be a close assault action, so we needed our guns to operate with a high firing rate. We soon dove into the thicket of ferns. We would normally have been running at speeds only an Olympic runner could match, aided by our exoskeletal legs, but we couldn't do that this time. Too many of our troops didn't have armored legs to propel them along. Already I could hear our lighter-equipped troops puffing. The rearmost was struggling to keep up.
"We should slow down," I told Harris. "We're losing our lightest troops."
Harris shook his head.
"Wrong. We'll plow in at a dead run. Let Kiwi and the rest fall behind. They'll last longer."
Thinking about it, I nodded in agreement. Harris was right. Why endanger our most vulnerable troops right off the bat? Might as well give them a fighting chance. The more I thought about it, the more I liked Harris's manner of bending his orders. I figured I still had a thing or two to learn from him, not just in adjusting orders, but also when it came down to tactics. He got the job done any way he could. If he won the fight, the officers weren't likely to complain just because he'd done it his own way. The ferns were thick now, slamming and slashing us like palm fronds in a hurricane.
"McGill,"
Kiwi called on a private channel,
"I'm over 100 meters behind you. If you don't slow down now..."
"Squad," I said, overriding her voice and all the rest of the chatter among my people. "When the foremost elements engage, halt and find a good firing position. Engage at will." Sargon answered me then.
"I like that. Thanks for the clarification, vet."
I knew what he meant. The rest probably did, too. I just edited our orders a little more. Graves wanted us to hit hard as a single shocking strike, but what was going to happen now would be a more spread-out force, all firing together but not physically close to those deadly stomping feet. There wasn't much more time to think. At first, we caught a few glimpses of the enemy looming over us like trees that were bending and then straightening up again. What could they be up to? It looked like... "Centurion," I called. "It looks like they're throwing rocks at Winslade's troops, is that right?"
"I wish, McGill," he called back. "They're throwing things all right. They're throwing living pods. Winslade's men are on the receiving end. They can't keep a coherent line because the enemy keeps smashing those pods right into their midst."
I got it then. The big pod walkers were picking up and throwing the smaller creatures. We closed in fast and broke out into the open. The whole battlefield was laid out before my eyes. There were pods, greenish-black things that reminded me of the eggs we'd seen inside the invasion ship. But these pods were much bigger. They were about 3 meters long and 2 meters thick. They must have weighed a ton each. The pod walkers bent, picked them up, and threw them like pine cones into Winslade's line. As a counter to this action, Winslade's people were lashing the walkers with a storm of small arms fire. As I watched, a pod split open under withering fire, and green-white liquid drenched the walker that had lifted it above his head. A pall of white smoke rose up from the walker's head section as the acid went to work. Sargon took careful aim and fired his belcher. He shot for a pod raised high, not for the walker. He opened up another pod before the walker could throw it, copying what Winslade's people had done.
"Score one for our side,"
Sargon whooped as the walker fell, thrashing.
"Good shooting, weaponeer," Harris shouted. "Platoon, engage."
We opened up with our Morph rifles, advancing at a walking pace into close range. We sprayed a deadly hail of bullets right up into the butts of the nearest walkers, who didn't seem to know we were there until that moment. Stupidly howling with pain and surprise, the towering giants turned on us. One stood right over me. He lifted a pod high like a primitive man with a rock lofted in both hands. I thought it was over. It was a shame, really. I'd only just gotten into the fight. But when the walker smashed down the pod, it didn't strike me dead. It crushed Harris instead. Acid exploded, spraying my armor and burning through my smart cloth where I wasn't wearing any armor. The newly hatched creature inside shivered and rose slowly from the shattered pod. Cursing and dancing away, I didn't bother to look for Harris. He had to be dead. No one could take such a blow and live. Even if the hurled pod hadn't broken his spine, the gush of deadly liquids would have finished the job. Nearby, troops blasted the acid-dripping alien apart. It was indeed one of the same kind that had invaded Minotaur when we'd first entered this star system. "Advance!" I shouted, realizing I was in command now. "I want concentrated fire on the walkers that turn to face us. Ignore the rest." Again, I was editing our orders. Graves had told us to light up all the walkers to distract them, to keep them from overwhelming Winslade's line. But I figured that plan was flawed. If they just turned around and killed us all quickly, we wouldn't be doing much to help our fellow troops. No, I wanted to kill as many of the enemy as I could, one at a time, if possible. The walker that had killed Harris went down fast. We tore it apart with hundreds of rounds at short range. Two more walkers turned on us, pods held high. Sargon beamed one's head off, and it threw its pod right into the back of the other walker. I had to grin at that. We'd caught a break. They both died before they could do much else. It took a moment after that to survey the battlefield. I didn't like what I saw. The other two platoons and Graves's unit weren't faring quite as well as we were. Tactics or luck had failed them. I checked my tactical displays. We'd lost all our officers except for Graves himself. Half our troops were dead, and the enemy didn't appear to be dying as fast as we were. We'd broken a hole in the enemy line, but it wasn't enough to call a victory yet. There were at least 10 walkers hunting down and destroying Toro's platoon, one man at a time.
"Harris,"
Graves called. Harris is down, sir, I answered.
All right, McGill, I need your platoon to support Toros right now. Flank right, attack immediately.
I marshaled my people and we advanced toward Toro's group. As I watched, a big hand dipped down and scooped up a fleeing trooper. I think it was a bio, judging by her light gear. The walker crushed her with a convulsive squeeze of that many-fingered hand. Dropping the limp pulp, it reached for another. We began to light them up, one after another. After half the enemy was down, the rest turned and made a lumbering charge toward our position. I knew as they stumbled toward us, we couldn't take them all. Not when they were focused on us single-mindedly. I tried to contact Graves for clarification, but he was dead. I was on my own. There wasn't much time for thought, but I had one burning question in my mind. Who'd ordered these walkers to act in a coordinated fashion? Scanning the battlefield, I saw them, a dozen or so spiders up on the back of a high root behind us. Overlooking the region, they were quiet, calm, and deliberative. Platoon, disengage, I roared. Follow me up this root structure, double time. If you don't have powered legs, well, hide someplace. To tell the truth, I don't quite know why I gave the command. Tactical ingenuity? No, not entirely. Rage was more like it. I wanted to kill the spiders who'd ordered the death of my entire unit. They sat smugly up there on their high root until they saw what we were doing. Then, like cowards, they began to dive off on either side. We reached them seconds later and tore apart the slowest spiders with ripping blasts of fire from our guns. Turning back to the walkers, I'd expected to find them charging up the route after us, but they weren't. They were milling around, searching for prey in random patterns, without the direction of the spiders. They'd broken off their attack. Up on top of the ridge-like route, we found stacks of unopened pods, a big pile of them in a bowl-like area. The pods were big ones, juicy and ripe with corrosives. My troops were firing down the steep sides of the roots, tagging the spider commanders in the ass, but it wasn't enough. Many were getting away. Roll these pods after them! Move, people, move! My last dozen troops hastened to obey. Sargon was still with me, along with a few others I knew, Della, Sladen, and Marquis. We worked in teams of three, rolling the pods over the sides of the route. Dropping pods and shooting after the spiders, we caught a few more and watched them die. Then we rolled the rest of the pods into the face of the walkers that were closest. That's when things changed on the battlefield as a whole. The walkers had been operating as an organized formation of troops, but now that we'd killed most of their commanders, they were bereft of intelligent leadership. Some stood dumbly, swaying and looking around, confused. Others charged blindly at whatever enemy they saw. They stopped throwing pods and marched directly into Winslade's guns. They were cut down with focused fire. A few more tried to get us up on top of the route, but we were ready for that. We rolled pods down onto them, burning away their limbs with acids and blasting them with concentrated fire. As the route was relatively narrow for the walkers, they were only able to approach one at a time. After a few minutes passed, they were all dead. Every one of them. Not one of the enemy walkers had retreated. None had asked for quarter. That suited me just fine, as I wasn't in a merciful mood anyway.